Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by board-certified urologist Dr. Judd Brandeis to talk about how science is making strides for your penis, and I'm answering your emails. Topics include no more blue pills, innovative new tech that helps your member work harder, longer, and stronger. The two people you need to be talking to about sex, your partner and your doctor, and how that can help you get your love life back on track. What to do if you're skeptical of your partner's fantasy, and whether or not VR porn is considered cheating. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com and all the great posts we have there and information to help you have better sex. And you can also catch me Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109, for even more sex talk. It's so fun, you guys. Check it out. You can get a free trial at sexwithemily.com/S. XM. As always, we're at Sex with Emily on all social media. Okay, guys, I've been pretty excited about this interview because, as you know, and if you've been listening to the show, there are many, many a penis problem out there in the world. And I think that what's happening right now with technology to help men and women is revolutionary. And it's really going to help people have the sex and relationships that you want to have with a lot less hassle. So I'm really excited that I can bring you this interview today about what's going on. And the interview was over Skype. So please bear with us. We try to give you the best quality audio. You know, I've always been about audio. So enjoy the interview. I love you all. And we'll have your emails after this. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Dr. Brandeis is a board-certified urologist, has quite the rap sheet. Chief of Urology at John Muir Medical Center for the past 8 years, and Chief of Urology at Hale Physicians for 7 years. Voted top urologist in the Bay Area in San Francisco Magazine the past 4 years, which, by the way, is a big deal because I was in the Bay Area for years and they don't just throw things around like that. They care a lot and they're judgy. So the fact that Dr. Brandeis, you were voted best urologist there. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. You have been quite a leader in urology and quite so many accomplishments. How did you get into this field?
So I started doing general urology in 2001. And general urology is the prostate and kidney stones and the bladder. And I did that for about 17 years. And I always liked new technology. So I was one of the first in the country to use the Da Vinci surgical robot. I was one of the first to develop a kidney stone center, one of the first to use MRIs for diagnosing prostate cancer. And then in November of 2017, I read about Gainswave. And Gainswave said that if you used acoustic sound wave therapy, you could improve people's erections and you could grow new blood vessels and help men who were not able to achieve an erection, help men get off Viagra, help men where Viagra wasn't working anymore to get to the point where they could be physically intimate. And I said, wow, if this works, this would be amazing. Yeah. And I was skeptical, but I wasn't skeptical enough that I didn't go to Miami and take the training course. And I said, well, this could work. And so I went back to Walnut Creek and I found my trusty patients and I said, let's give this a try. And lo and behold, it worked. And the litmus test was to do it on my attorney, who's a really, really skeptical guy who says, placebos never work on me. And after 4 or 5 weeks, he looked at me and said, you know, this thing actually works.
So this is the most innovative technology that's come out around men and erectile dysfunction. And
well, you know, as opposed to every other technology that's out there, like pills or shots or the vacuum erection device, Gainswave is actually curative. For most men have what's called vasculogenic erectile dysfunction, meaning that the blood vessels start to get thin as you get older and you're not able to push blood into the penis at such high blood pressure. So you go to the doctor tells you that your blood pressure is 120 over 80, right? So what that means is that when your heart pushes that blood into the aorta, that pressure in the aorta is 120. Okay.
Wow.
So when you get an erection, not you, but I mean, when men get an erection, that blood pressure in the penis can get up to 300, three times as strong the pressure as in the aorta. And so you have to generate very high blood pressures. As men get older and their blood vessels get thinner and they get high blood pressure or diabetes, they're not able to push blood under pressure into the penis. And what Gainswave does is it stimulates the body to produce new blood vessels or to clear out old blood vessels so that blood can get pushed into the penis at higher pressures.
Okay. So what we're talking about initially then is just erectile dysfunction, like why it happens in men. And you're saying for the majority of men as they age, 40s, 50s, 60s, that when they start to see it more so, right?
Correct.
That up until this point, there's a pill. Right? Everyone took a pill, which is just like a kind of a band-aid is what we're saying. Like it helped men, but it can't do what Gainswave can do, what shockwave treatment can do. So can you talk about the difference?
Sure. So, you know, I like getting scientific because I respect people's intelligence. And so the way that the system works is that the nerves get stimulated. And in men, the nerves can get stimulated in two different ways. One visually and the other is cognitively, right? Emotionally. So there's two different ways the nerves can get stimulated. But then when those nerves get stimulated, that stimulus goes down from the brain, down the spinal cord, into what we call the cavernous nerves. And what the cavernous nerves do is they release something called nitric oxide. So nitric oxide in the body is the neurotransmitter that works between nerves and arteries. So it's the chemical that works between nerves and arteries, and it's the critical chemical. And in 1998, a guy named Lou Ignar won the Nobel Prize for discovering this. And so that neurotransmitter then stimulates the blood vessels to dilate. When those blood vessels open up, they pump more blood into the penis. One thing you can do is to take a nitric oxide booster to increase the amount of nitric oxide. That's not what Viagra does.
What Viagra does is
it blocks the reuptake of nitric oxide. So it keeps the nitric oxide in the synapse for a longer period of time.
Up until now, pretty much what men could do is take a pill or just suffer through it. Not get hard, not have enjoyable sex. Yeah.
What Gainswave actually does is it stimulates the production of stem cells.
Yeah.
So it stimulates stem cells to grow new blood vessels. And it stimulates the production of what's called VEGF or vascular endothelial growth factor. It's a hormone that's produced locally that stimulates the growth of blood vessels. And so then you push more blood into the penis, you get an erection.
So how do you know who's right for Gainswave, who just has some other stress, a lot of stressors in their life going on?
Well, first of all, you can take a good history. So people that have vascular disease in their family or have been to the cardiologist, have heart disease, have diabetes, have smoking. There are a number of things that can contribute to vasculogenic erectile dysfunction. Now, if someone's younger, if someone's 20, 25 years old and has it, then it's probably something totally different.
At what age are the majority of men starting to experience this?
So they did something called the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, and this is what most people refer to when they look at incidents of erectile dysfunction. And so men in their 40s in the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, about 40% of them experience some degree of erectile dysfunction. Men in their 50s, it's about 50%. Men in their 60s, it's about 60%. Men in their 70s, it's about 70%.
Right. Okay. That's what it seems like. I'm always telling my friends, like when they're with someone for the first time in their 40s, I'm like, that's what happens. The penis just doesn't. Starts not to work as well as efficiently.
Exactly. But you know, you hit on a good point, which is anxiety or nervousness produces hormones in the body that constrict blood vessels.
Right.
Right. So if you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, the hormones that your body produces are the same ones that you get produced if you are nervous on going on a first date.
Right.
And that will potentially reduce the amount of blood flow going to the penis.
One of the reasons my show people feel comfortable calling in is because it's anonymous. But there's a lot of men who call in and I might be the first person they've ever talked to about their penis challenges. They don't want to talk to their doctors. They don't want to talk to their partners. And what do you think it is after all your years working with men? Why is there so much shame about talking about what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ego involved. There's a lot of macho or manliness. And so in my practice, Brandeis MD in San Ramon, California, what we do is we really try to disarm that. We try to explain to men that this is part of life. This happens to almost everyone at some point in their life. And there's no shame. It's not a problem.
Right.
For example, people don't feel embarrassed going to the cardiologist.
Right.
Right. You know, you're like, oh, I'm taking my dad to the cardiologist today.
Right.
But people are, for some reason, embarrassed or ashamed of going to the urologist for erectile dysfunction. But, you know, it's the same disease process.
Exactly. Right.
It's just blood vessels getting blocked, delivering less blood to an end organ. And in one case, it's the heart. In another case, it's the penis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my goal on the planet. Let's just talk about all of it. Let's just talk about, you know, our challenges, sexually, otherwise. Do you ever have patients' partners coming to you because it's harder for them to talk about, like their spouses come in and...
You know, I'd say about a third of the time they come with their spouses.
Okay, that's good. I think it's important.
Yeah, I actually really like it when they bring their spouses. Because, yeah. You know, it's a team effort.
It is a team effort. Sex is a team effort. You know, often people call in, I'm like, have you ever talked to your partner about this? Whatever it is, it could be penis, it could be orgasms with men and with anything, and they were not comfortable with it. So you heard about Gainswave shock therapy for ED and Peyronie's disease. It also helps. If we could talk about Peyronie's for a second, and then you brought it to San Francisco, essentially, when you heard about it
right.
A few years ago.
Right.
And your business has just been taken off because you're helping men in ways that are, I'm assuming it is. When I first heard about it for years ago, I was like, holy, there is a solution for men in ED that is not a pill that could change your life. This is going to be the biggest thing ever. So let's talk about the specific, well, first let's explain Peyronie's because that's really common too and people aren't as familiar with the term.
Sure. So Peyronie's disease is scar tissue on the inside of the penis. And about 80% of the time, people don't even realize when it occurs. But basically, the lining of the inside of the penis, I know we talked just a minute ago about the high pressures on the inside of the penis.
Yeah.
And the lining of the inside of the penis is unique in that it can withstand those really high blood pressures, but it can stretch. But if you get a small crack in that tissue, it produces scar tissue. Now, scar tissue in the body is strong, but it doesn't stretch.
Right.
And so you get one side of the penis that stretches and one side of the penis that doesn't stretch. And so you end up with a curvature.
Okay.
And so what Gainswave is actually able to do is break up that scar tissue. So if you look at the collagen, which is what makes up the inside of the penis, collagen and elastin, under the microscope, you'll see that in normal tissue, it's kind of more parallel fibers. But in scar tissue, the fibers are all over the place, kind of scrambled. And so when you pull on those fibers that are all scrambled, they can't stretch.
Right. Okay.
And so with Gainswave, what you do is you break up the adhesions or the blockages, and then you use a penile pump to stretch that tissue, to pull that tissue back into a way that's more parallel so that tissue can stretch. And so there are really only two FDA approved treatments for Peyronie's disease. One is surgery.
Yeah.
And I used to do that surgery, but one, it affects sensation because a lot of times the nerves are caught in the scar tissue. And the other thing is a lot of times patients complain that their penis is smaller at the end.
That's a bummer. They're like, I'll take that the bend back.
Yeah.
My penis is small. Can you reverse it, doc?
And the other is, it's called a collagenase. It's a medication called Xiaflex. And what it does is it dissolves the plaque. But the problem is you have a lifetime risk of penile fracture,
okay.
Meaning that you're creating a weakness in the lining of the penis. And so during sex, you potentially can snap or break that part of the penis, which, you know, is really not considered good form.
No.
And the other thing is while you're undergoing treatment with Xiaflex, you can't have sex for about a month or two.
So let's talk about Gainswave. Let's just get into it. So how does it work? I walk in with my penis. I can't get hard. I'm having problems with erectile dysfunction. And I come to see you. You do tests. You figure it out. We've decided that I'm a candidate.
Right. And so we usually start with
how quickly,
with six
like
treatments.
What happened?
So
okay, six
in
treatments.
In my office, it's once a week.
Okay.
For 6 weeks. Each treatment takes about 15 or 20 minutes.
All right.
We use a topical numbing medication on the penis.
Okay.
So it doesn't hurt, but feels like irritating.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like a ultrasound transducer, but it's shock waves.
Okay.
It's different than sound waves. Sound waves are kind of nice, what we call sinusoidal or gentle waves. that you use for diagnostic imaging.
Okay.
These are shock waves. And it's kind of interesting. In World War II, they noticed when there were explosions, even people that weren't directly involved in the explosions had damaged their internal organs.
Oh, okay.
And it's because of shock waves.
Wow. Okay.
And so some really smart German scientists figured out, well, maybe we should use this for other purposes. And so we actually use it to break up kidney stones at much higher pressures. But for erectile dysfunction, what we do is we dial it down. So it's 100 times less intense than we use to break up kidney stones.
Okay.
And what it does is it tricks your body. So the shock waves create a situation where your body feels like it's being injured.
Okay.
And so in your body, you generate an injury response, an inflammation. And that injury response is a healing response. And part of a healing response is growing new blood vessels.
Okay.
So you have stem cells that start to grow and you produce what are called cytokines or hormones that are local that cause blood vessels to grow and nerves to respond. And that's basically how
Gainswave works. It's like regenerating new collagen too, internally.
What it does is it stimulates your body
your growth of the
to world. Improve.
Okay.
So it's like we have for cancer, we have what are called immunotherapy, right? And what that does is it stimulates your body to attack cancer cells.
Right. Okay.
In this situation, you're stimulating your body to repair itself.
So you have one treatment for 15 minutes. And then what? How soon can you see results after that?
You usually see results after about 4 or 5 treatments. Patients will get sometimes a result after the first or second treatment, but that's usually because of a release of nitric oxide. Usually it's the 4th or 5th treatment where they begin to start to see results, and then those continue for about 8 to 10 weeks. Now, some patients, especially younger patients, will respond really well after 6 treatments. Other patients will respond well after 12 treatments. And other patients, we use in additional adjunct treatments like PRP or stem cells. Take them to the next level.
Okay. So they could also do that too. PRP stuff. Exactly. I'm hearing a lot of this with women's health as well. Paint me like a before and after. Typical patient. He couldn't get hard or stay erect, or he'd get erect, lose his erection during intercourse. And
sure.
Now
so,
what happens? After
you know, a typical
treatments?
Patient is a 54, 55 year old male who now all of a sudden finds that he needs to be on Viagra. Not all the time, but for the most part. And things are slowly beginning to get worse. And so he can either take Viagra every single time he wants to get an erection, or he can do Gainswave. And after 6 Gainswave treatments, he'll be back to where he was 5 or 10 years ago.
That's amazing. And how long does it last? The treatments last up to 2 years?
Yeah, about up to the data shows that there's about a 50% retention at a year or two. And so what we do is we usually put patients on Gainswave maintenance protocols. And so every 6 months, they come in for 1 or 2 treatments because, you know, we can turn back the clock, but we can't stop the clock. There's the aging process continues. And so I have this concept of keeping your penis in shape.
Yeah.
Right? You know, when you were 20 years old, you could probably run a 6-minute mile.
Yeah.
When you're 30 years old, you can run a 7-minute mile. When you're 40 years old, you can run an 8-minute mile. You know, over time, you decline. And that Massachusetts male aging study at 40 years old, 40% of guys had erectile dysfunction, but it didn't happen overnight.
Right, exactly.
They didn't just drop off a cliff. And so, you know, I was thinking about this and talking to some of my colleagues and saying, you know, what can we do as men to keep our penises in shape? Same way you go to the gym and keep your cardiovascular system in shape. And there are some basic intuitive things like, you know, eat well, drink water, exercise. But there are some things that are very specific to the penis. And Gainswave is one of them. A nitric oxide booster is another one. And that's very underrated. But as you get older, you lose nitric oxide. So by the time you're 50, you've lost 50% of your nitric oxide production. By the time you're 70, you've lost about 75% of your nitric oxide production. So it's like a dimmer switch in a room.
Right.
Right.
How do they get nitric oxide?
So at 50% light, you can probably still do most stuff. But by the time the light's down to 25%, you know, you're not going to do surgery.
Right.
And you're not going to speed read. Right. But you could probably walk around the room. And so by replacing nitric oxide, that's something that you can do to keep your penis in shape.
How can they do that on their own? They have to come see you.
No, you can just get a nitric oxide booster.
Really? Like you just buy it like on Amazon?
And exactly. In fact, I make a nitric oxide booster called Affirm.
Ooh.
That's available at affirmscience.com.
Affirmscience.com. Okay, I think you're going to have a lot of people who are going to want to talk to you about this. I want to talk about men keeping their penises healthy throughout their lifetime. Because I think, what about just strengthening their pelvic floor? Doing Kegels for men are important.
You know, that's good for continence.
Uh-huh. Urinary continence. It's real. Yeah.
And it's good for ejaculation.
Uh-huh.
But getting an erection is a different system. We created Brandeis MD, my wife and I, as a place where men could be really comfortable talking about really uncomfortable things. So talking about sex and talking about physical intimacy and talking about relationship issues is hard for everyone. I mean, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
And guys always put up this wall, this front, this macho front. Not everyone, but
many. Yeah, no, I get it.
Many men, and we don't grow up talking about those kind of things, and so a lot of men are uncomfortable talking to other people about it, talking to their spouse about it. And since I'm a urologist and I talk about penises and prostates and those kind of things all day,
right?
It's almost second nature to me. And so I think guys are very comfortable talking to me about it because it doesn't get a rise out of me.
Right.
You know, I'm a very sort of calm person to begin with.
Right.
And so, you know, guys talk, I've seen, as a urologist for 20, 25 years, I've pretty much seen everything.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's really hard to get my blood pressure up.
Right.
And so what I found was I was actually pretty good at talking to men about these kind of things.
Yeah.
And then I found that I enjoy talking to men about these kind of things and about what makes them tick. And then you get these success stories, like this one patient I had who was 74 years old, and he was one of my first Gainswave patients, and he'd been my patient for about 15 years, and his wife had Alzheimer's disease, and he was such a devoted husband. I mean, he took such good care of his wife, and it was so difficult. And towards the end, she didn't even know his name, after 10 years, she passed away, and then I saw him every 6 months, and then I saw him back a year or two after his wife passed away, and he told me, oh, you know, I got a girlfriend, but, you know, I have a problem. I can't get an erection. I said, you know, Peter, let's try this new thing called Gainswave. And I heard it works really well, and I have the machine. And so we started doing Gainswave. And after the fourth or fifth treatment, he came in and he had that red blush that you get when you're a 15 or 16-year-old boy and you kissed your first girl. And I said, you know, what's going on, Peter? And he came into the office and he was hugging me and hugging my medical assistant.
Oh.
And he said, you know, my girlfriend and I went out and I took a Levitra tablet, and he goes, and I was able to have sex with her. And that was the first time I've had sex in 15 years.
Wow.
And it was such a special moment for him and for me. And, you know, I've cured people of cancer so many times and taking out kidney stones and helped people in so many different ways. But that was such a special moment to be able to help someone in that way.
Yeah.
I'll always remember it. And that was really sort of one of the first impetuses for me to move away from doing a general urology and move into the sexual medicine space.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many stories now like that where, you know, families are about to break up or marriages are about to break up, and we're able to help men through Gainswave get their erections back, get their sexual spontaneity back, and get their physical intimacy back, and get their relationship back on track. And we prevented families from breaking up. We've prevented divorces. And Gainswave really has been the key for a lot of men, because it's a curative situation. Right. Because women sometimes feel really bad that they feel like it's their fault.
Yeah, we do.
That their husband or spouse can't get an erection, you know, that they're not attractive or they're not attractive as a mate. And it plays into the relationship. I mean, you obviously know all this a lot more than I do, but it plays into the relationship dynamics.
It does, absolutely. Women, we take it on, like, well, I have a lot of friends who encountered this for the first time. Our husband, they've been with for a long time, like, all of a sudden, like, is it me? I'm like, it's not. Like, I really, it's not you. Women, we automatically take it on. But when we can't have orgasms, we also blame ourselves. So anyway, it's the way women, we want to be caretakers. It's not fair, but I love that you are giving men their confidence back. Putting families together and letting people to have the sex that they deserve, because we forget. And I think there has to be way more talk about this, about the solutions for men and women.
You know better than anyone that this is just one small component
right.
of physical intimacy. So in my clinic, I I try to avoid words like sex. Me and for us in our clinic, and I have a psychologist that works with us, and my staff is really well trained and highly educated to talk about this in terms of physical intimacy. You know, in my office, we're not looking to like help guys go out and score chicks at a bar.
No.
What we're trying to do is to help men who've had a good, healthy life maintain physical intimacy, which is an important part of enjoyment of life.
Thank you so much. Dr. Brandeis, where can people find you? What's the best place to find you right now?
BrandeisMD.com. And also I have a Vimeo page. So if anyone's really interested taking a little bit of a deeper dive on the science, you can go to my Vimeo page, which is BrandeisMD. And also Gainswave.com is a great resource to learn about Gainswave, to find a local provider.
Okay.
And they have a lot of really good information about Gainswave.
Dr. Brandeis, this was fascinating. Men, thank you. I thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. All right, love answering your questions. It's why I'm here on the planet. And if you want a question answered on the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, or email feedback@sexwithemily.com. Always, always, always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. Okay, James is going to read the emails.
All right. We have Michelle. She's 31 in Illinois, and she writes, "Hi, Emily. I'm with an amazing man who loves and supports me like crazy. He has helped open up and deal with a long history of sexual trauma, and he's the first man I've really wanted to let in, pun intended. He has a very high libido and would be happy with sex at least 2 times a day. I have a low libido, once a week, sometimes feels like a lot, and I struggle to get aroused even solo. I'm starting to masturbate and reacquaint myself with my body, arousal, and desire, but I feel like I'm constantly leaving my man unsatisfied. He says he doesn't like to masturbate and would rather wait for me, but I'm feeling like this creates pressure to be in the mood for him when I'm really not there. He doesn't like duty sex either because he wants me to enjoy it also. Wondering how to talk to him about managing his own libido to relieve some pressure, if this is even the right solution. Ways I can help move through my trauma, embrace my sexuality again, and keep us both sexually happy and satisfied. I miss having a healthy sex life. Thank you so much."
All right, Michelle, thank you for this question. There's a lot of different layers here, so let me unpack this for you. First of all, thank you so much for sharing all this and opening up to us with your vulnerabilities and sending the email. Let me just take this step by step. I'm going to start with your sexual trauma. It sounds like you said he's helped you deal with a long history of sexual trauma, but I'm wondering if you've actually dealt with that trauma. Because even if you have a supportive partner, we have to do the work. And that work is therapy, like deep, intensive therapy. And what I recommend for sexual trauma is a therapy called EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing. It's a really effective therapy for people who've experienced trauma that helps essentially rewire your brain. And that will help you relieve some of this if you haven't done therapy yet. So that's the first part. And that's probably, I mean, you're 31 years old, you're healthy. I feel like that's going to be a big thing for you. You said you're starting to masturbate and reacquaint yourself with your body, but you still feel like you're leaving him unsatisfied. I wonder if you've actually talked to him about this, that you constantly feel unsatisfied, like you're letting him down. That might be a pattern too. You might feel like you're constantly letting people down in your life as well. With the mismatched libidos, you absolutely have to have a talk with him, and just like you could even let him know you sent this email. I mean, I think the more honest we are with our partners that we're trying to solve a problem, that we really care, is going to take a lot of the pressure off of both of you, because you might find out from him that he's fine and he's willing to make sacrifices. I feel like he'd be willing to make compromises, because here's the thing. All couples have to make sacrifices around their sex life. Things do change. He wants it every day. You're not feeling like you have it at all. That can be really, really frustrating. I also do think it's important for him to masturbate and not hold back for you, because I can understand why that's giving you a lot of pressure right now. So I think that perhaps you guys could do some mutual masturbation together. So it's kind of like maybe when you're alone masturbating, it doesn't really work for you, because maybe you get into your head. That happens to a lot of us. So maybe if you guys, you know, masturbate together. That could kind of help you get going and then see if that gets you in the mood. I know that duty sex for him and for anyone feels like, oh God, it's a duty. But I think if you make sure that you're getting pleasure as well, like I said, starting with masturbation or just starting with some intimacy overall, like for a lot of women, and I'm just talking about women in general, we just don't get the kind of pre-sex behavior or foreplay that we need. And so it sounds like an overall conversation with him about the state of your sex life, that you love him, that you care about him, that you love your sex life, and that you guys are a team, and that you want to do everything you can with him to make sure that you guys are both satisfied. I think that will send you in the right direction. So having the talk, getting yourself into some therapy. I'm glad they support you. You need to get your own help. And then figuring out what kind of compromises you guys can make to make sure that you are having the sex and the intimacy you need to stay connected.
Okay, this next one is from Jason, who's 37 in Florida. He writes, "Hi, Emily. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now and love it. It's definitely freed my mind up a lot. So my wife and I have been married for 14 years, have three children, and our sex has always been amazing and keeps getting better. Recently, my wife opened up to me about a fantasy she has been having about me having sex with another woman, and that she's been thinking about it the past several times we've had sex. Because of past relationships, and I believe because of her father cheating on her mother, leading to their divorce after 27 years, my wife struggles with jealousy and insecurity sometimes. We've been able to communicate through the issue in the past, but because of that, I was very taken aback by her fantasy. In my mind, there just isn't room for jealousy and being turned on by me being with another woman. The little conversation we did have about it, she seemed kind of confused herself. I'd definitely be interested in pursuing that, but in that moment, I was careful not to show my interest, hoping not to stir anything up. Anyways, I just don't know what the next step is. Help." Okay.
Okay, Jason, thank you for this question. You sound like a great husband and very, very thoughtful a really great comprehensive understanding of your wife. I would definitely be cautious here. I mean, if she's got a history of jealousy and insecurities, having you know, a lot of our fantasies just need to remain a fantasy. So I would really have a few more conversations, a lot of conversations. I mean, if she's still confused by it, you guys are nowhere near close to having my consent to go ahead and work through this, to start having sex with other women. I think the best way to test this would be to do some role playing. I mean, this is a great suggestion for couples who like want to have threesomes or bring another partner in or try something, is to watch porn with this is where I like porn. It can be a great tool. You can look up, you know, couples of, you know, husbands having sex with other women, you know, you can find anything. And then talk that through, narrate that with each other, like right now, or you don't even have to watch the porn. You can just say, "Right now, I'm having sex with another woman, and I'm telling you all about it." Or you could even make up a story. "Last night, I was sleeping with so-and-so," because I'm not sure if she's saying she wants to watch or she just wants to hear about it. So maybe if you just make up stories, that might sound kind of like, what? But that might be enough to turn her on and enough to make her realize if it's really something a road that she wants to go down. But after reading this, I'm not feeling like this is anything you guys need to jump into. So I'm really glad that she's sharing fantasies with you, because I think having a healthy fantasy life is part of having a healthy sex life. This particular fantasy, I think you need to just do some more unraveling and see if perhaps by role playing or watching porn together, this might expand into another kind of fantasy that maybe fits for both of you, because this is not something to go through now.
This one comes from Brittany, who's 29 in Virginia. "Hi, Emily. My husband and I have been together for 11 years and married for 3.5, and we're currently expecting our first child. Much to our surprise, pregnancy has done wonders for our sex life. My sex drive is off the charts. We're having it 2 to 3 times a day, sexting most days, trying lots of new things, buying toys, etc. Previously, we had a very good sex life, but probably only 1 to 2 a week and almost always initiated by my husband. It's been a very welcome and exciting development. However, I'm nervous that once our baby arrives, this will change. 1, I won't be able to have sex for 6 to 10 weeks after birth. 2, at least at the very beginning, it'll be very difficult to find a load time. And 3, I also worry about hormonal changes that can make my sex drive dip back to more modest levels. I'm really enjoying this new sexual chapter and want to maintain our intense intimacy as much as possible. What are some things we could do in the months following our child's birth to keep ourselves sexually connected, even if we can't have sex or sex as often as we want to? And secondly, do you have advice for transitioning back into regular sex after fully recovering from labor? Thank you."
All right, Brittany, thank you for the email and congratulations on having a really sexy pregnancy. Because, you know, they often, you know, some women do. Their libidos really spike during pregnancy. And so I think that's a great thing. And I'm super happy for you that you guys are really able to explore right now. So here's my advice for you. Do your best to just be appreciative and grateful for the sex that you're having right now and pay attention to it. Because yes, a lot of it has to do with spiking hormones around pregnancy, but also you're really learning how to connect with him and you're learning what it feels like. Since we like, well, muscle, you know, you've heard of muscle memory. Well, sex is a lot like that. Like if you can just really be present with the great sex you're having now, it'll be much, much easier to tap into it after the baby comes to keep it going. So this is just a gift and it's amazing that you're having all this great sex. After childbirth, remember this, your doctor says it's going to take 6 to 10 weeks. Some women, it takes longer. So don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. Remember, you have to go slow. Also, I understand that you're worried about the path, about what's going to happen in the future, but as much as you can stay grounded and maybe replace that worry with like, we are laying the groundwork for an amazing future of having amazing sex because we're experiencing it now. Because for a lot of women, they report after childbirth, their sex actually gets better. And there's no reason that can't be you. Know that after childbirth, breastfeeding can also sometimes dampen libido. So just be patient with yourself. And pelvic floor. I'm telling you, in America, we don't do as much for women when they leave the hospital after childbirth. So you have to keep your pelvic floor healthy. I would see a pelvic floor physical therapist. I would definitely do your Kegel exercises, do Pilates. Make sure, even right now, while you're pregnant, is a great time to make sure that you're strong and doing all the right things to make sure that your body's in a great shape once you have that baby. Also, sex after childbirth, just because you can't have intercourse for 6 to 10 weeks or however long, remember how important it is to keep the intimacy alive. And this means handholding, cuddling, quality time. Maybe it's mutual masturbation until you guys are ready, but making sure that you still keep that time for each other, even when you won't have a lot of time having a new baby in the house, but just keep prioritizing it. Keep talking to him about how you're feeling. Don't pretend to be in a different place than you're at. And I think that you'll continue to keep the hot sex going. And congratulations to you.
I know that sounds amazing that she's like, my sex life, my drive is off the charts. That's amazing.
It's so good. I know. Because they say that for women, it can spike at different trimesters. But the fact that like she's experiencing it so much more, I would want to hold on to that.
Right. I'd be like, don't go away.
Please step the baby stay in a little
If longer. You can like put your sex drive into like a little pocket.
That's why I was like, remember what's happening because you can tap into it.
Okay, and last email, this comes from David. He's 35 in Toronto. Hi, Emily. I was wondering what your opinion is on virtual reality or VR porn, as it is relatively new. My wife and I have a great sex life, and we both approve of porn, although we never watch together. I tried watching VR porn a couple times and find it semi-realistic, as in it feels more like the actresses are right there with you. Do you think there's anything wrong with this, or that I should bring it up with my wife? My opinion is it's not any closer to cheating, as it's still all in my head, but I was wondering what you think. Thank you.
All right, David. Okay, this is a great question because virtual reality porn, sex with robots, all of it is coming, it's happening. I'm glad that you both approve of porn, but you've never watched it together. I like the idea of you guys watching it together. And honestly, I know I've checked out virtual reality porn. It is realistic. It does feel really true to life. And we're already having problems with people watching porn. And it's like rewiring their brains, meaning like they need much more intense stimulation to get aroused. People have a harder time having sex with their partners. I don't think I'm never going to tell you not, you know, there's anything wrong with it. But if you're actually emailing me and you're feeling like it feels very real and kind of close to actually having sex and you're curious if you should admit it to your wife, I'm thinking it's something maybe you steer clear of right now. Because we know best and you're feeling it in your body. And I think the reality of it might even make you more attached or perhaps even eventually like addicted to it. And I like the idea of continuing to enhance your sex life with your wife and figuring out what you guys could do. You said you have a great sex life and you both approve of porn, but you don't watch together. I'm wondering what makes your sex life so great with your wife, because I believe you when you say it is. And what can you do to expand that? So everything that's great with our sex lives right now, like I love when people are having great sex with their partners. And I always say, it's not static. So keep working on it. What is great and how can you take it to the next level with her? How can you turn away from the porn and turn toward your wife and say, babe, I want to continue to grow with you. Let's go buy some toys, maybe watch some porn together, try new things, role play. But I feel like that's going to feel a lot better to you in the long run than going down a road with virtual reality porn. That's how I feel about it. All right, guys, thanks so much for the questions. Thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed the show and the interview with Dr. Brandeis. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, you rock, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.